Radio.
Radio
X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the Evening Show podcast with me, Gordon Smart, and producer Vin. Hi, Vin.
Hello.
First time for 3 weeks we've done this, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it 3 weeks?
I was missing you.
I know, you had a week off, a rare week off. A little foray to Denmark, I believe.
I didn't talk to anyone for 2 days. It was brilliant.
It's good to sometimes do that, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it couldn't have gone on for much longer. But yeah, I had fun.
Cabin fever sets in. Well, we've got a great evening show podcast for you. But of Alex Kapranos, what a cracking bloke he is. We spent a bit of time with him this year, Vin, didn't we, down at the Portsmouth Victorious Festival.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's a great bloke, really compelling character.
The new tune's great as well.
Yeah, it's right up your street. I know you're a massive Franz Ferdinand fan. I really, really liked him when he first came out. And then fell out of love a little bit, just because I just think I just loved them so much in 2004. It wasn't that I didn't love them anymore, Vin.
They changed though, didn't they?
We just got used to each other, I think. That's
the sound changed a little bit.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think all four albums so far, I think, have been great.
It's exciting stuff. And Royal Blood as well, they came in and played a very special Radio X session for us a few weeks back. Played it out on Monday night, went down brilliantly. It was magical, Vin, wasn't it, watching? I know you're a really good musician yourself.
they were brilliant. They were quality. But what was nice was that they're really funny. They're proper showmen. Yeah,
they are.
So we had a few questions from the audience.
Yeah,
and they had proper funny answers, didn't they?
They did a show and tell answer session, didn't they? Really, where they explained how they make the noise they make, which was really brilliant to sort of peel back the curtain and explain how it all happened. So have a little listen to that on the Evening Show podcast. Plus, there's a bonus classic album for you here too.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart. Now, right, I've been playing you an incredible session we recorded with Royal Blood a couple of weeks ago in our session studio here at Radio X. Been really, really lucky in my career to see some incredible musicians, but there is something special about Ben and Mike. I think they really stamped themselves firmly on the map at Glastonbury this year, just as they went to number one with their second album. You've been sending in your love already, and I've only played two tracks. I only lie when I love you and figure it out. Elisa, she's in touch and says in 10 days time I'll be seeing Royal Blood in Milan. Absolutely excited about that. Phil Jones as well, loving this Royal Blood. It's making me go even faster on the exercise bike. I'm sweating. It isn't even the word anymore. And Hannah as well, Royal Blood sounding absolutely amazing on Radio X. 16 days until I see them live, and this is getting me so excited. Before I play you the next tune, I thought I'd give you a glimpse behind the curtain. So we had 30 listeners in our super intimate tiny studio, and they got to ask a couple of questions too, which were all very good indeed. So thanks for them. We've often discussed the secret to the Royal Blood sound, so how two blokes can rip the roof off a venue. So here's Mike and Ben explaining the complicated layers of the Royal Blood live experience.
Yeah, I think when we made the records, we were a bit like, what have we done? Because there was like layers and layers of vocals. So Ben kind of solved that problem. Lights out, show them what we do. What we do.
You want to hear what I do on lights out? So I have a few little things going around here.
We don't play to track or click.
I can do like 10 vocals at once. So then I can just do. Do my own thing.
As soon as that happened, we were like, right, let's go to the pub.
They make it sound so easy, don't they? So that's Ben Thatcher and Mike Kerr in the Radio X Session Studio. Let's hear that process in all its glory. Royal Blood live with the first single off the second album. This is Lights Out.
Radio.
Radio.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
We've had some great albums to discuss this year. Screamadelica, Parklife, Joshua Tree, Panic Prevention, Different Class. If you want to hear our chats about all of them, go and check them out on the Evening Show podcast. Really looking forward to hearing tracks from the White Stripes' brilliant fourth album, Elephant, the focus of our attention tonight. Producer Vin here, as always, for his say. When it comes to albums, he always likes to chip in on this bit. Now, it was released on V2 Records in April 2003, over 14 years ago. Nominated for Album of the Year and won Best Alternative Music Album at the Grammys. It got to number 6 in the US charts and number 1 in the UK. We loved it over here. Raw, punchy, gritty, atmospheric stuff. The album was intended as a bit of a throwback. Back to basics, nuts and bolts, rock and roll. The band wanted to simplify the sound, thin it out. And Jack White produced it. Of course he did. He does everything. He's got a vinyl pressing factory. There's nothing the man can't do. But he went really old school, didn't he, Vin?
Yeah, well, the whole thing with this album was that, like you said, they wanted to make it sound like it was a back to basics sort of thing. Yeah.
And he used an 8-track tape recorder. He had all this material that was from the 60s or pre-60s.
Yeah.
All the equipment that they used, you know, in a world where everyone's sort of getting on their synths and getting on their Macs and getting on their laptops and making music in their bedrooms, this was proper, let's stick some guitars in front of a microphone and see what happens.
Even to the untrained ear, you can hear that. The liner notes...
That sort of, you always have that sort of vinyl scratch.
Yeah,
don't it did,
you? Yeah, there is the vinyl scratch on it, isn't it?
You can hear the sort of grit and dirt on it.
Can't get enough of that. The liner notes included the disclaimer, no computers were used during the writing, recording, mixing or mastering of this record, and none of the recording equipment was more recent than 1963. How about that? I didn't know this actually, but it was recorded over 2 weeks. That's how long it took. Only 2 weeks in Hackney in London. You would never think that album was recorded.
It's amazing.
In Hackney.
So one of the tunes, I think, I just don't know what to do with myself, was recorded in Maida Vale, and everything else was in Hackney. I didn't know it was a London record.
A great Burt Bacharach cover as well, which you wouldn't have realised. And it was Meg's idea to put it on the album. The video, of course, remember the video, Kate Moss pole dancing. I won't say any more than that before I get too carried away. The album was loosely based around The Death of the Sweetheart, which was an American culture, a teenage record. On Record Store Day in 2013, I remember this vividly because it was a nightmare trying to get your hands on it. It celebrated the album's 10th anniversary, and Third Man Records released a limited edition red, black and white vinyl reissue. If anybody's got it and doesn't want it anymore, I'd quite like it. The album has been re-released with at least 6 different versions of the front cover. Different covers for the CD, LP editions, US, UK and elsewhere. So real collector's items. It's a brilliant album. The White Stripes and Elephant. I'm going to give you 2 songs from it right now. They are brilliant. It's become a terrorist chant for Jeremy Corbyn, of all things. Seven Nation Army and The Hardest Button to Button.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
Next. Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
The Evening Show. Classic album of the week.
X.
Thoroughly enjoyed that. Seven Nation Army and The Hardest Button to Button before that. Double play from Elephant, The White Stripes, 2003, 14 years ago. Got a lovely message from Ian in Hull, who said that reaffirmed his faith in guitar music at the time. He's feeling a bit despondent about the way things were going, but The White Stripes rode to the rescue, and he's quite right. It's a magical, magical album. Loved that. So Seven Nation Army, that was the lead single, won a Grammy for Best Rock Song, number 7 in the UK charts and number 1 in the US Alternative chart. It was the 3rd highest selling song of the year in that chart. Now, Vin, you can out-geek me here, can't you? It's not actually a bass guitar, is it?
I'm going to read this off a bit of paper.
Don't pretend you're reading this.
it's not a bass guitar. It's Jack White playing a semi-acoustic 1950s-style K hollow body guitar through a Digitech whammy pedal, set down an octave and breathe.
See, I thought it was up an octave, but you've corrected me there.
So basically, he's put a pedal on it.
He's put a pedal on it, yeah. Originally, the band had kept the riff in case they were ever asked to do a James Bond theme, and we all know the history there. The offer came years later. Jack White collaborated on Another Way to Die with Alicia Keys on The Quantum of Solace. The song's been covered loads, hasn't it, by crowds at festivals and political rallies. This year, you will only know it as the Jeremy Corbyn song. X Factor singers have done it, blues musicians. Most popularly, though, and we love this in here, French single Ben Loncle Soul, and this is the...
Don't wanna hear about it.
How about that?
Every single one's got a story to tell.
So Justin Timberlake's always wanted to release. Before we played Seven Nation Army, we played The Hardest Button to Button, the 3rd single. It's about a child trying to find his place in a dysfunctional family after the arrival of a new baby. The video was directed by Michel Gondry as well, and it had a lovely little cameo from Beck. Loved that tonight. We're talking about The White Stripes and Elephant. I'll have another one of them next week.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Right, back to evening show business. I've been playing you an incredible session recorded a couple of weeks ago here at Radio X with Royal Blood. Mike Kerr and Ben Thatcher put on a show for 30 lucky punters who won tickets to see them at extremely close quarters. In between putting their skeletons back together, they got to ask a couple of questions. One of them was whether the boys could articulate that incredible Glastonbury set from a few months ago on the Pyramid stage.
The first 3 songs, my kind of internal dialogue was like, and then I think, I don't know, there was a point in the set where we kind of just looked at each other like, let's do this. And then it went from being like, being worrying about like how you're standing to like just having fun, basically. It was nuts. Brad Pitt was with my parents. So I'm like playing, like thinking this is mad, and I was like, what? Like high fiving my dad, and it was nuts.
Ben, can I ask you, what was it like when you looked over and saw Lars from Metallica standing over there? Did that put an extra pressure on you?
I smelt him before I saw him. No.
Lars, he's come to a few shows, so I feel quite comfortable playing and being with him. So, it's just like having...
Your drum teacher
good,
there.
Your drum teacher there.
Ben Thatcher, Mike Kerr at the Radio X Session Studio. Right, this is the last one for tonight, I'm afraid, so make sure you turn this right up. One of the best songs of the last 5 years, as far as I'm concerned. Royal Blood, live and exclusive in Radio X's Session Studio. This is Little Monster.
Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
This is the Wednesday night evening show here on Radio X with me, Gordon Smart, and I'm thrilled to tell you that one of my favourite Scotsmen in the entire world is joining us on the evening show. Alex Kapranos from Franz Ferdinand. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Gordon. Nice to speak to you, man.
It's great to hear from you, Alex. Now, the last time I saw you, we were in glorious sunshine on the south coast of England at the Victorious Festival in Portsmouth. You went on to play an exceptional gig that night. Where are you right now? Set the scene for us.
I'm standing by the canal in Paris, just outside the venue Le Point Éphémère, and we're about to go on stage and play a bunch of songs from the album, and I'll be going on shortly.
When I imagine Alex Kapranos, when I'm away from work, I think you're always standing by a canal, just looking wistfully into the sunset,
it
thinking about music.
Sounds a bit dodgy somehow, doesn't it?
I think it sounds artistic, Alex.
I'm looking wistfully into the water, dreaming up lyrics.
Now, Alex, we're not just phoning you to trouble you on your holidays in Paris tonight. You have got a new album on the way, and we're going to play your new single tonight. It's outstanding, always ascending. We've had a sneaky listen, it's brilliant. Tell us all about it. You know, this is the first time we've had a chance to talk about it. What's the new single all about? Where's it come from? It sounds really optimistic.
I guess it is. Yeah, it really is. And I suppose we're at a beginning stage, like it's a new era for the band, and that's what this record really sounds like the beginning of something new. I mean, of course, there's elements that you'll recognize from the band before. I'm not going to change my voice, but it does feel like something new. Musically, we wanted to do something that felt like it was always rising and always taking you up, and there's a shepherd tone in there as well. It's this kind of like rising tone which never kind of resolves and always brings you up. And but at the heart of it, it's a dance floor banger, really, you know.
Yes, you can't have enough optimistic music in the world right now, Alex, so thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
Is there a little bit of the FFS stuff as well sort of still hanging in the music? Because, you know, there's a big synth presence there. We feel it's a little bit of a Blondie influence as well, and I know you've covered Blondie in the past.
Oh, right. I wasn't aware of either of them. I mean, I loved the FFS record. It was really fun to make, and it was nice to hang out with Ron and Russell from Sparks. But no, I feel this is something new. This is something different. It was good, like, doing the FFS record, because it took us away from what we'd done before, and it gave us a chance to return with a completely fresh palette and start something totally different that we'd never done before.
Outstanding stuff. Well, we're going to play it right now. We're going to give everybody their first listen of this. It's the brand new Franz Ferdinand single. It's world class. The song is Always Ascending here on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
That's the brand new single from Franz Ferdinand on Radio X, Always Ascending. Alex Kapranos on the phone from Paris as well. Alex, what's it like after all this time? I mean, I think I first saw you in 2003, 2004, around that time. Do you still have the same buzz, the same butterflies when you release music for the first time?
Oh my God, yeah, you kind of beat it. The way I was talking to my girlfriend about it recently, I was saying it's like, you know, when you've got a Christmas present for somebody and you kind of can't wait for them to open it, because you think, oh, this is going to be great, you're going to love this. And so, yeah, it feels a bit like that, you know. It's a fun thing to do, and it's very exciting, especially this one. Like, I can't wait for folk to hear it.
Because this is an exciting thing as well. There's a recasting of the band, right? So you've got two new members, the new album's on the way. What was it like, the studio dynamic? Has it changed slightly now that you've got sort of new characters in there?
Yeah, of course. It's a little different. You know, like different personalities make a band. You know, and of course, Bob and Paul are still there and I'm still there, so that element's the same. But, yeah, Julian and Dino, they're both from Glasgow. They're both friends, and it's great. You know, it's a really good atmosphere on tour. It's kind of fun being with those guys as well, because especially for Julian, like, he's a little younger, and some of his experiences he's having for the first time, and it's funny seeing him, having fans chase them down the street and stuff for the first time. It's like, there you go. Yeah. What
Welcome
do you think about
aboard.
That?
Welcome aboard, sir. I've got to ask you, you've got to help me with my pronunciation here as well, Alex. I can't pronounce Philippe Zadar. Is that the best pronunciation of the producer?
Philippe Zadar. Aye, Zadar. That's his name. Yes, aye.
What a fascinating French character. Fella. What a fascinating character. He's worked with the Beastie Boys, Phoenix, Cassius, people like that. Now, and I understand that you had a brilliant relationship with him. What's it like, and what role does the producer play for you now when you're doing albums? Now you've got all this experience behind you.
He's an amazing guy, a really, really great character. Met him years ago and always felt that we should have made a record together, and we kind of got together this time. I'm trying to think what the role of a producer is. I mean, obviously there's lots of technical things that a producer has to do, and they shape the sonics, but really, like, I kind of think of a producer as... the producer's like your pal, you know, your mad pal that eggs you on to do crazy stuff that you'd never do on your own.
Yeah.
That's kind of like the role of a producer. It kind of like eggs you on, like makes you believe that you can do things that beyond what you would normally believe yourself, and takes your performance and pushes it to somewhere that you would never have gone if you were on your own. Kind of like a good director as well, I suppose. That's a similar sort of role, and Philippe was really like that, and... yeah, he's good. He's a wild character as well, and so there was always a bit of a party atmosphere in the studio. He mixes the meanest bourbon sour I've ever had in my life. He's a good lad.
The Franz Ferdinand rider is now clear to us. And the one thing about having a guy who encourages your madness, is he not also the bloke that has to say, that's gone a little bit Spinal Tap, Alex? No, we're not going to have that on the album.
No, actually, in the days of Pro Tools and digital recording, so much music is stacked and really, really heavily stacked and layered, and you hear loads of stuff that you wouldn't hear a band playing. We were trying to like buck that and return it to like sort of like an essential, very raw, minimalistic approach. So even though sonically it sounds like now and it's got the range and the power of a contemporary recording, it doesn't have all of the layers and all of the kind of what we see as excess. It's kind of still raw.
You know, it's great to hear your enthusiasm coming through. It's pouring out of you, Alex, which is great news, because we've only heard the first single. I haven't heard the rest of the album. I cannot wait to hear it. And if the rest of it is as good as the first single, we're on to a good thing. So thank you very much.
Oh, man. Cheers, Gordon. Thanks a lot, man.
And please, I better let you go. I think you've got to walk on stage in about 5 minutes to do this gig.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. All right,
okay.
See you soon.
Bonne chance, Alex, my man. I'll catch you soon. This is The Evening Show with me, Gordon Smart, here on Radio X.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Right now, it's time for a little bit of Week in Rock and Roll. So this is the time of the show when I do a story that's caught my eye, or maybe caught my ear, in music news. And before I get to it, it's about memorabilia today. I thought I'd mention some of the no memorabilia that I've collected over the years. I've got some good stuff in. I've got a pair of Adidas trainers that he designed, the first pair that he designed. And I've got an envelope that he sent an Oasis single to me, and with lots of abuse on the side of it about how I should review it.
Oh, wow, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
and you know what it was? It was a penalty fine in London for not paying the congestion charge.
Oh, right.
He'd stuck it in that, and I thought it was quite an unusual thing. And I've also got his kitchen.
You've got his kitchen.
I think he's told this story when we left XFM. He told the story about how he got back from on tour and his missus had put a kitchen in that he didn't like, so he told her to bin it. And I said, well, what are you doing with that kitchen? And he said, I was going to Skip. I said, well, I've got a house that it might
I'm
need a kitchen.
I'm so confused. This sounds like The Sims or something.
It's ridiculous.
What's going on? So it's like drag and drop?
So no, yeah, he had a kitchen in his house and he didn't like it, so he wanted a new one.
Yeah.
So the old one was getting chucked in the skip. And I said,
can't just throw a kitchen away. What are you...
Well, you can't. Listen, if you're a rock star, you can chuck whatever you like away, can't you?
No, but there's plumbing, other things, electrics.
So he went on holiday and it got ripped out. And I said, look, can I have the kitchen? And he said, let me speak to the missus. So I got a text the next day and it said, we're delighted to help a lower income family. You can have it. So I got a mate down from Scotland. My mate Benji came down with a van. The lads that were...
What is this story?
I'm telling you, my mate Benji came down with a van and the lads that were ripping his kitchen out helped us load it in the van. We drove the van up to Scotland with his kitchen in it.
I'm so out of my depth there.
It's ridiculous,
I do not know what's going on.
Do you know the worst thing, Vin? Kitchen doesn't fit the house. So it's sat in a
lockup. I don't know what that means. Of course it doesn't. It's a different kitchen.
I know, it's sitting in a lockup. I don't know what to do with it. I can't sell it. Or maybe I couldn't give the money to charity. That would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, maybe.
Every now and again,
I don't know, mate.
Brazilian Oasis fans get in touch and ask if they can come and see Noel's kitchen. It's weird, isn't it?
It's very weird.
It is very weird. We could talk to him about that maybe in the future if he pops on the show. Who knows? Anyway, talking about memorabilia, Jimi Hendrix was the reason for this whole conversation. Not long ago on Smart on Sunday, we discussed the story about Jimi Hendrix memorabilia going up for sale at auction. And there's an amazing story about a woman called Anthea Connell. And she put up a cigarette packet for, I think it was £3,000 she wanted, with a message that Jimi Hendrix had scribbled down for her when her husband had been playing a gig 50 years ago. It was a wee bit naughty of Jimi Hendrix. He'd written this message, handed it to her, and it said, "I wish I could talk to you properly, but I can't." Which was, in my mind, kind of saying, if your husband or boyfriend wasn't here, you're right up for the cup. Anyway, she put it up for auction, wanted $3,000 for it. She just got $6,000 the other day for it. $6,000 she
got. Doubled her money.
And she's from Lincolnshire, and she's gone off to New Zealand to spend the money on a little holiday.
Nice one.
Thanks, Jimi Hendrix. And that is the Jimi Hendrix experience.
Radio X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Thanks very much for downloading the Evening Show podcast from Radio X. I'm Gordon Smart. Please join us for next week's edition. It'd be great if you'd leave us a little review, tell all your friends, and come and join us for another edition next week.
Radio X.